to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Now, the surprising things that Wisconsin exports and actually exports a lot of that we don't have the same reputation for. Obviously, when you think of Wisconsin, we think of cheese, we think of dairy, we think of brats and beer, but we don't think of cranberries or ginseng. And in reality, we are the largest exporter of ginseng in the United States, and largely in central Wisconsin, in the Wausau area. So to talk more about what ginseng is, what the process of growing it is, also how the political climate is affecting the exporting of ginseng, is president of Sue's Ginseng Enterprise, Will Sue, joins us for this whole half hour. Welcome to the show, Will.
Ah, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
So when I think of ginseng, I feel like I see it in tea, and it is a remedy for your immune system. But for people who really don't know what ginseng it is at all, what is it?
So ginseng is kind of a herbal tonic that's used by Chinese and Asian Americans, has been for centuries. And I think it's confusing because there's actually two types of ginseng. There's ginseng that's native to Asia, a species called Asian ginseng or Panaxia minor, and then the type that we grow here in the U.S., which is American ginseng and native to North America. And they actually have two different properties. If you're familiar with yin and yang in the Chinese culture and medicinal knowledge, Asian ginseng is yang or yangs, hot heat. Heating, stimulating. American ginseng is yin, it's cooling, tonifying. And so Asian culture tends to prefer the tonifying, balancing ginseng, which is American ginseng, because it tends to balance the body, it helps the immune system, and also is just good for everyday use and everyday consumption to make you feel healthy and energetic. American culture, we find ginseng typically and buy Asian ginseng because we like stimulants, we like caffeine, we like coffee, we like energy drinks. So that's what you find.
Interesting.
Yep. And so that's the balance, but it's also trade. And that's the trade between the two countries and the two nations for hundreds, if not thousands of years now, has been this difference in the species that is native to each of the countries and how it's used in medicine. Chinese do use Asian ginseng from Korea, northern China, but it's typically used for short duration, you know, during the cold winter months or to rebalance hormones and systems, especially postpartum. That's where most Asian women are exposed to Asian ginseng is postpartum. And then they find that they actually buy the ginseng for their husbands, the American version, because men are yang by nature and women are yin by nature. And so you need to take the opposite one to balance. But Americans, we're not about balance. We're all about our ups. We love our downs. You know, I give this example to anyone who comes and tours our facility, our farm. I mean, people wake up in the morning, they don't feel good. What do? We drink coffee, we drink caffeine, okay? Then we go to sugar and an energy drink and other things throughout the day, and we start feeling tired. So we do it again. We have an afternoon coffee or a Coke or more caffeine. And then what happens at 5 o'clock at night? You're wired from the day. What's the first thing you turn to, or what a lot of Americans turn to? American, especially Wisconsin culture. You need a beer.
Yep.
A cocktail. Depress the system. Then you can't sleep at night. What do you do? You take an Ambien, you take melatonin, you take a sleeping pill, further depress the system. Then you go to bed, finally, and you wake up the next morning. How do you feel? Not great.
And you're like, I feel very exposed right now. I feel like you're just like calling out my entire lifestyle.
And Asian culture is the exact opposite in a lot of ways. They don't consume caffeine and coffee as much, except maybe some of the younger generation. They don't consume alcohol typically except for celebrations and banquets and maybe business events or dinners. And so they drink tea and hot water all day long, whether it be ginseng tea, herbal tea, green tea, black tea. They drink it all day long. And it's a much more hydrating and less volatile type of lifestyle, and ginseng is part of that for balance.
That's all that was so fascinating as far as one, just the immediate call out of American dietary culture, which is actually I was scoping out your Twitter, and it seems like you have a lot of opinions on how we treat our bodies and the lack of nutritious food that we call food in this country. But so as far as going back to the ginseng and yeah. the two species, do we have the climate to grow both, or is there something specific to Wisconsin climate why the native North American species does well here and couldn't necessarily be grown as well in any of the Asian countries?
No, they both grow in both parts of both countries and both nations. So it's just one of those things where because the species was native to the woodlands and the mountains of China, they grow predominantly Asian ginseng, and we grow American. Although now a lot of American ginseng is grown in China. And there are a few growers of Asian ginseng here in North America. So the climate and soil and everything are conducive to growing both. It's just that the species itself are native to those continents. And so far, you know, the predominant growing region for American ginseng still is North America. But actually, the largest producer of American ginseng today is Canada.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that. We're talking to Will Su, who's the president of Su's Ginseng Enterprise, about all things ginseng. It's a root vegetable. And so what is your farm look like? And is it far, is it big? Is it like, what is it? What, if I were to come visit, what would I expect?
Well, you should come visit sometime.
I will.
We are open to that and open to tours. But we are one of the probably second largest grower here in central Wisconsin. If you've ever driven through central Wisconsin, you'll see these black shade cloths, this shade canopy over these gardens in central Wisconsin, especially as you're coming up Highway 51 or I-39 or going across the state on Highway 29. Through the Wausau, Marathon, Edgar area, you'll see along the side of the highways at times in the county highways these shade structures that are erected over the gardens or the fields. And those are in place for typically 3 to 5 years because that's how long it takes the root to reach maturity. And everything is done underneath that shade structure. And they move because you never grow ginseng on the same land twice.
Okay.
So it is a very interesting and different crop for Wisconsin agriculture because you don't use the same land twice. Everything operates underneath shade fabric, including tractors, and it's very labor intensive. All the weeding is done by hand. All the picking of seeds is done by hand. And so I heard one of your earlier segments, Jane was saying, you know, it's you learning this labor,
yeah.
What are these early jobs? You know, for me growing up on our family ginseng farm, it was definitely doing field work, you know, because you can't really spray chemicals. So because, you know, Roundup is a broadleaf herbicide or just herbicide in general, it will kill ginseng. We've bioengineered corn and soybeans so you can spray Roundup on it. You can't do that with ginseng. So we pick all the weeds out by hand. We pick all the seeds by hand, and a lot of the roots are actually picked by hand as well.
So how many people do you employ then to be working on the farm?
So our farm right now has about 40 to 50 people. About half our staff is on H-2A work visa from Mexico. And so they're here seasonally with us from April through roughly November, December. And then they go home to their families, you know, celebrate Christmas because a lot of them are Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And then they come back roughly after Easter and start it all over again. So it's a 9-month season for us. Growing is April through roughly October. And then harvest is now through November. And then we are curing the roots, washing, drying, and then packaging or exporting through Chinese New Year, so roughly January, February of next year.
Will, is ginseng tasty?
Depends.
I was going to say, that's not an immediate yes.
No, that's not an immediate yes. I would probably equivalent it to your first taste of coffee or beer. If you can think back whenever that was, however many years ago, it's a bitter, herbal kind of, but also a floral type of, or herbal, herbaceous type flavor that you have to get accustomed to. You know, no one really likes their first drink of coffee. No one really likes their first taste of beer. At least most people don't. And ginseng is the same way. Most kids who are exposed to ginseng at a young age, because their parents encourage them to take it for studying and to deal with stress and to prepare for exams, they don't like it either. But they are taking it as a medicine. It's an herbal medicine. It's probably how medicine used to taste 20 or 30 years ago before we added coloring and food flavoring to it to make it taste better. Those bitter elements have medicinal value. So it doesn't taste the greatest, but to consumers who are used to drinking it, it's like drinking black coffee.
You just get used to it. And so is there, what is the market? Because obviously we export a lot. I mean, I'm assuming a lot of what you grow is exported. So ginseng hasn't really had its moment. It's like acai or like matcha moment in America yet.
It did actually for a brief time in the 80s. My dad used to talk about going out to California and selling it to the hippie crowd or the post-hippie crowd, especially out in California where there was the health trends.
Yeah.
And the ginseng still has this notoriety and this connotative kind of beneficial health benefits. And so people continue to take it and believe in it and still use it to this day. And Chinese people have used it for thousands of years, and more recently American ginseng for hundreds of years. And so there is this history of usage. It's just not in Western medicine. You know, it's not a drug that you can take and it immediately, you know, heals you or, you know, cures whatever ails you. This is something that's intended for long-term use, and Western medicine is not about long-term preventative care. We're about immediate, you know, kind of critical care, and then you go home. You only see the doctor when you're sick. You never see the doctor to get well.
So as far as this, we've covered a lot of the actual what it is and growing it and everything, but as someone who employs people who are on immigrant visas, as someone who has to deal with trade agreements, how is the political climate that we're in, both in the state, but also even nationally, how has that kind of affected where business is right now for you?
It's not good.
Okay.
It's not good. Since the trade war, labor situations, I mean, I guess, you know, we're farming less as an industry, so you don't need as much labor. So maybe we're not feeling as much of the pain in the labor force as some of our, you know, other folks in the area. But we're still using, you know, 20 guys from Mexico every year. If we don't have those guys coming in from Mexico on H-2A work visa, we don't have a farm. And then in terms of foreign trade, we're probably half the size of where we were before the trade war in 2018. So, you know, on our sales and marketing side, we've laid off probably half of our staff. And it's kind of depressing for, you know, a business that's been here for 48 years and for an industry that has over 100 years of history in Wisconsin.
So that was not, because it's something I feel like when former President Trump was in office, that was a big deal, but it's something that never, even with the change of the administration, got fixed or altered?
Yeah, I kind of tweeted out earlier this morning, I just don't think we have the political interest or willpower to change and go back to free trade. You know, part of the reason why we have such a great domestic economy is because we're producing more and manufacturing more here in the U.S. as we are trading less and acquiring less from overseas. And then if you look at our fiscal policy, you know, we have a very strong dollar, which makes it very unattractive for people to come and buy ginseng. So even if the price of ginseng hasn't changed, the cost to a foreigner is 15, 20% more than it was even a few years ago. And then you add tariffs and people are like, I'll just buy it either from somewhere else that's more, you know, it's cheaper or less expensive, or I'll just go without it. And those are the choices we make as consumers. And unfortunately, ginseng farmers here are paying the price for both, you know, for decisions that span multiple administrations.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break, but Will Sue's going to stick with us through the break. He is the president of Sue's Ginseng Enterprise. Stick with us. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
My hope in my hand. I went through brushes and briars, digging ginseng all over the land.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. This half hour, our guest is Will Sue, who is the president of Sue's Ginseng Enterprise. And before the break, we had discussed a little bit about the political climate of the last couple of years and how that has negatively affected the trade of ginseng. And so, Will, what would you like to see happen, either at a state level or the national level?
Yeah, I mean, I think it can only really be done at the federal level.
Yeah.
You know, we need to resume trade with China. I think for a lot of reasons, not only just to help some of the farmers here, whether you're growing ginseng or soybeans or pretty much any other commodity that we grow in Wisconsin. Cranberries are actually also exported a lot to China. So I think you need to get rid of some of those tariffs and start trading with China again. But no one really wants to repeal tariffs. And if you think about it, when people pay tariffs, you know, importers, they pay that money to the government. So in some ways, the government's losing out on tax revenue that they are passing to the consumers when you and I pay higher prices. So they're not motivated to reduce their tax revenue, nor are they motivated to really politically to trade with China, because we seem to be on an anti-China sentiment right now. So, but it needs to be handled federally. And I think that's what I would love to see, whether or not we can actually get it done. I don't think Democrats will do it because it, you know, we're in an era where that helps domestic labor, the domestic labor pool, wages, productivity, you know, all those things, which is good for the base. On the Republican side, you know, you have a Trump hangover where that's what started the trade war, and you still have folks who are loyal to that party line of no longer being free trade. But it's crazy because the Republican Party for pretty much my entire life until 2018 was free trade.
Oh, that sounds a little bleak, but I think we have a call for, from Debbie from Wisconsin Rapids.
Go ahead, Deb.
You do. Hello. Will, I'm so excited to hear you on here. I'm Kristen's mom, and I'm calling you from Wisconsin Rapids. I drive by your fields regularly, and I have a couple things I just want to ask. It's not political at all, because I'm a gardener. First, did you say you don't regrow ginseng on the same field ever again?
That is correct, Kristen's mom. We do not grow ginseng on the same soil twice. We never have as an industry. We actually keep track via satellite and plat book plots that have previously had ginseng grown on them, and we do not intentionally go back. And the reason why is the yields are significantly lower the second time around. And when you're talking about a 3 to 5 year root crop, you just can't put in all those inputs and have a crop yield that's half or less of what it normally is. And there's two reasons. You know, one is disease. That diseases that attack ginseng are specific to ginseng, and they come back and they stay in the soil. The second reason is the plant itself, it hasn't been bioengineered. And so being grown at high density in the wild, these plants grow 6, 10, 12, 20 feet apart. In our gardens, they are right next to each other. And so they kill each other off because they biologically haven't evolved and been cultivated long enough to be able to be grown at high density, nor have we bioengineered the product. And so it's just a natural defense mechanism. You know, anytime you grow things at high density or have animals at high density, they tend to kill each other off. And this is part of our food system. So those are the two primary reasons why we don't go back.
Well,
but you may have answered the question.
Well, that did answer that question. What happens to the fields then? When once you're done with ginseng in them, do you put another crop in, or do you just have to? Do you just have a massive area you keep moving through, or what happens?
So we trade land and swap land with other farmers, and we rotate through other crops. Although it's not us that are, we only farm ginseng, so we'll have other farm partners that will come in and use the land for corn or soybeans, hay, alfalfa, any other kind of cash crop or cover crop. So we do all of those things. And then, you know, the farmers do like working with us because we pick all the rock out of the field. You know, this is a root crop. And so we want to remove the rock from the field because it can inhibit some of the root crop growth. And so we do pick the rock out of the field, which farmers love. And we obviously take care of the land because we only get one shot at it. So that means fertilizing and doing other things. And so farmers do like working with us. Although sometimes, you know, some people don't want to rent the land because they don't like seeing the shade structure. They want to see, you know, beautiful fields of grain. And unfortunately, we're not growing those types of crops. But it's for 4 to 5 years. So hopefully, you know, we can find more people to work with. But hasn't been an issue so far.
Great. Well, the last thing I want to say, because I know Kristen wants to talk politics, is I use your compost and other garden products all the time. They're wonderful. I couldn't live without them. And I'm hoping Kristen comes up to see you because I want to see the whole operation. I haven't been to the store, but it's great. I love the products, and I'm so happy to hear all that you're talking about today. I'll let you go now, though. Thank you.
Thanks, Mom. She was not planted, I promise. She was just listening. She's very excited as the gardener. We're talking to Will Sue, who's the president of Sue's Ginseng Enterprise. And so we don't have enough time to get back into politics, which is fine. But as far as Debbie Bry just said, what products, consumer products, do you guys sell that people can get, and where can they find them?
Yeah, so we sell all of our ginseng products that we produce here locally online. We actually have a print catalog and a web store that sells ginseng to consumers all over the U.S. and even allows them to ship it into countries such as Taiwan and China, Hong Kong, and overseas. And then locally here in central Wisconsin, because we are a farmer and we care about the environment, we're actually helping some municipalities recycle leaf compost and leaf waste, yard waste, and food waste, and turning it into soil and soil blends for gardeners, such as your mom. And so we do that in cooperation with municipalities, and then sell the products to local gardeners and folks who are at home landscaping.
That sounds wonderful. I didn't know that you guys had all those other products. And so we'll definitely link all of that to our episode blog post for today, so you can find all of that. And then today, this year was the return of the International Ginseng Festival, correct? That was last about a month ago, right?
Yeah, they did it over in conjunction with Marathon Fun Days in the city of Marathon, just the west of here. And that's kind of the part of the history of American ginseng is Hamburg, Wisconsin, where the Fromms were located, as well as the big trading center in Marathon. And so it was good to be back in that area and be kind of in a smaller community, especially without the international tourists. It's just hard to bring a festival that size into a smaller community when you have a whole bunch of international tourists that need hotels and other things. So we're hoping that the bigger festival will be back to Wausau or another area. They'd like to bring it to China as well, just to celebrate the history of ginseng.
Absolutely. All right. Well, Will, thank you so much for joining us today. Will Sue is the president of Sue's Ginseng Enterprise. We will link all of the information for his company on our website. Thank you again, and we'll have you back in the future.
Yeah, we'll talk politics in the future.
Exactly. All right. Thanks so much. All right. We're going to take a break for the top of the hour news, and when we return, it'll still be As Goes Wisconsin.
Rush and Briar digging ginseng all over the land. Yeah. I'm digging ginseng all over the land. Digging ginseng all over the land. Yeah, digging ginseng all over the land. Oh, I'm digging ginseng.